The leader of the Labour Party last night said housing was the civil rights issue of our generation, and she said the resignation of Leo Varadkar was a vote of no confidence in his own government. She made the comments at her party's conference in Dublin, and we are joined now by the leader of the Labour Party, Ivana Bacik. You're welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me on, Justin.
In your speech last night, you set out some of your red lines for going back into government. They centre on housing and include a state construction company. In an economy where we have full employment, where every tradesperson in the country is working, anyone who wants to work is working, why would you set up a company which would simply move tradespeople from the private sector to being publicly paid?
Well, first of all, we are having our national conference this weekend for Labour, and we are a party of deep roots and green shoots. It's been great to see the wonderful new candidates we have, and we've selected 100 already for the locals, and our great candidates Niamh Horrigan and Eoin O'Riordan running for Europe in Ireland South and Dublin respectively. And I did, as you say, set out last night in my speech the red lines for government, and indeed the speech was very much focused on elections. We want to see a general election indeed, but we're also very conscious that in 11 weeks' time we'll have local and European elections, and we want Labour representatives elected to council chambers and to the European Parliament to deliver on the change that's needed. And on housing, that change is very clear. And that's why I set out the red line about building more homes, Justin. And okay. I set this out last year. And in the year since I set a target for 50,000 new builds per year, every expert, the Construction Federation, the Housing Commission, have come out and accepted that the targets the government has are too low and that a target of 50,000 is needed. Now, how we achieve that, and you've focused on construction workers, and you're quite right. At the moment, we are in a position where it's impossible to get people to do basic tasks. And yet we know that the lack of investment in house building, the lack of investment in recruitment of construction workers is actually a cost and a drag on
our
economy.
So where would you get the workers then for your state-run construction company?
Well, we've said two things. First of all, we want to see a ramping up of the numbers going into apprenticeships. We want to see apprentices paid decent wages, and currently, as we know, there are many thousands of apprentices paid far below the minimum wage. And that's one reason why we're not seeing the numbers coming into trades that we need. But much more importantly, Justin, because that obviously takes time to bring apprenticeships up, what we now need to see from government, and we haven't seen, is a proactive recruitment campaign from abroad for skilled construction workers. I looked at the numbers of employment permits issued last year to those in construction. Only 1,300, a drop in the ocean. What we need to see is more construction trades on the critical skills list, more construction workers recruited. And indeed, again, if one looks at CSO figures, it's about 160,000. No, let me finish. Working in construction currently. And the Construction Federation has said that there is capacity there. The problem is many of those currently employed in construction are engaged in non-residential activity, and we don't see the breakdown on that.
But would you pay them more to get them to work for the state to build houses? They're currently working for private companies. So would you have to pay them more to get them to work for a state construction company?
Well, the reality is when I speak to employers in every sector, including construction, they tell me that they're already having to pay more than the minimum wage of $12.70 per hour.
But wouldn't you have to pay them even more again if you want to employ them to get them to transfer over to become state workers?
That might well be the case, although let's face it, there'd be a great deal more security in a state construction company. And I will say this also, Justin, that the ICTU, the Congress of Trade Unions, put forward a really clear and comprehensive paper last year on the need for a semi-state to deliver homes directly. We believe that the Land Development Agency could be adapted into that direct deliverer
but,
of homes.
But paying them more, and you've said there that that
but
might well be
investment.
That might well
that's
be
fine.
The case.
But
if that is the case, though, that drives up construction inflation and building costs right across the sector, and you're going to end up paying more for houses. Everybody would end
that's
up paying
not the case.
More for
With
houses.
Respect, that's not the case. And if you look at ICTU's analysis, it's very clear that if you scale up the capacity of the state to deliver directly, you are ensuring that there's a bigger player entering the market in competition with the private builders, and that can drive down house costs. And they've very clear analysis to show that that's the case. The problem currently is that the LDA is not delivering, the Land Development Agency, is not delivering at the scale that was anticipated when it was established 5 years ago. And we very much supported that, unlike other opposition parties. We agree with the concept of the Land Development Agency, but it needs to be resourced sufficiently to be able able to deliver homes directly, social and affordable homes on state-owned land. What we're saying, and I stood in Limerick last year on a site owned by the LDA, and I heard from our local representatives how it will take years before the LDA is even in a position to apply for planning on that site. And that's, you know, to build large-scale residential developments. So we need to see far greater sense of urgency and ambition from government on housing. And that was my red line, and that is my red line, and okay, that's what I told our conference last night.
In your speech last night, you criticised attacks by the far right on immigrants, and you said that your party would end direct provision. You spoke about supporting and sheltering refugees. 3 months ago, one of your own local election candidates, Carl Reynolds, in Dublin Bay South, appeared on a video with an anti-immigration campaigner, and she said that we have too many immigrants coming in here at the moment. And she went on to say that there's a lot of people moaning in the area, and I totally agree with them, that the immigrants coming in here are not actually immigrants. They're only coming in here because they're calling it Treasure Island. Those comments came from a Labour Party local election candidate. I know there was an internal party investigation into those comments. What was the outcome of that?
Well, as you well know, Carol made a full apology. There was an edited video circulated by the far right, which misrepresented what Carol's true beliefs, and Carol is a very good and very embedded community
activist. She made those comments, though, when
I might finish, Justin. So she made a full apology. She retracted the comments. They're absolutely not comments that are in keeping with Labour values or indeed with her own values. We had an internal review, a very comprehensive review conducted by the General Secretary, and what we have done in response and in, following on from that review is to introduce far stronger supports for our candidates and our representatives, because we are conscious, and it happened to me, we are conscious that the far right are mobilising across the country, putting microphones in people's faces, intimidating people, coercing people who may not be seasoned or experienced at dealing with media. And we need to ensure, this is not just a Labour issue, by the way, this is a challenge for every party, to ensure that our candidates are supported and you know, trained to be able to withstand intimidation from the far right.
She said those words. Is she still going to be a Labour candidate in the local elections?
Carol spoke very powerfully yesterday at our conference on housing, on the severe shortage of housing in our constituency. Carol and others, like in our own constituency, but across the country, other Labour activists I'm so proud of, who've been so active in setting up welcome groups across the country. Labour has such a proud record of welcoming refugees, of ensuring supports in communities.
Is she still going to be a candidate?
She is a candidate, absolutely.
And you've been critical of the government for saying one thing and for doing another. And isn't this an example of where the Labour Party is saying one thing at a national level and then a candidate is saying something totally different at a local level?
Absolutely not. As I've already said, and indeed I've discussed this on many occasions, she made a full apology. She retracted the comments. There was an edited video circulated. It does not represent her views or the values of the Labour Party. And we've conducted a very full internal review into that. And may I say, the comments I made about government representatives saying one thing and doing another, that was in reaction to the referendum results, where we saw government representatives going out canvassing for yes, yes votes, and then saying after the event and after the result that they had in fact voted a different way. And, you know, that's, I think, not appropriate for government representatives.
Do you accept the position that you and your party took on the referendums, that it shows that Labour is out of touch with people?
No, I don't accept that. I mean, I had a very, very close role in trying to formulate a wording that would replace the current appalling text in Article 41. And let's not forget,
why didn't you oppose it then?
If you would let me finish, we took a very clear view after some consideration that the wording the government had proposed, while it was not the wording that our Oireachtas Gender Equality Committee had proposed, it was not wording Labour would have chosen, and indeed we were the only party to put down amendments and call votes on those in the Dáil in January on the government's wording. Nonetheless, the government wording represented progress. And that was a view taken by almost every opposition party. We went out with integrity. Our activists were campaigning for a yes, yes, to try and get a more generous definition of family in the Constitution, not confined to families based on marriage, and to delete the sexist and outdated language on women and mothers. Now, it's a regret of mine. It's a disappointment that the referendums were not passed. But it is a matter for government. As I said when I went to the count, it's a matter for government to explain first why they chose a wording that was not the wording we had proposed through the Oireachtas Committee, which did have cross-party support and had buy-in from stakeholders, from disability rights groups and others. And secondly, the government still haven't explained satisfactorily why they stopped campaigning. They effectively pulled back from the campaign in the last 10 days or 2 weeks, and we saw the vote slipping away then. And I think that is really disappointing, that government didn't stand up with the sort of integrity I saw our Labour canvassers doing and actually campaign for a yes, yes vote. And, you know, we absolutely accept the results of the referendum. I will say that, of course. But, you know, one clear message that does emerge, albeit there were many different reasons why people voted no, one message is that the government needs to do more on disability rights. And I certainly spent a good deal of my speech last night speaking on how we need to build an Ireland that works for all, but particularly we need to do more on disability rights.
Labour Party leader Ivana Bacic, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us today.